Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Say the words Far Cry 3 and you'll immediately think of Bass, Michael Mando's out-of-nowhere incredible villain from 2012. Sometimes, though, villains aren't created to look good on a poster. Sometimes they're born out of a desire to get one over on a certain party that's allegedly wronged a member of the development team. I'm Scott from WhatCulture.com, and these are 9 video game villains created out of spite. Number 9, Buff Gamer and the Echonet Game Reviewers, Borderlands 2. Despite the original Borderlands receiving positive reviews from most critics, developer Gearbox couldn't resist the urge to throw some shade at those who weren't quite so charitable. In the optional Matter of Taste mission from the DLC pack Mr. Torg's Campaign of Carnage, Mr. Torg instructs players to track down a number of obnoxious video game critics and murder them for negatively reviewing some of his favorite games. The ringleader of the pack goes by the moniker Buff Gamer, and players are also asked to slaughter Echonet's general reviewing staff too. Using Mr. Torg to make fun of how seriously gamers can take review scores, a 6 out of 10 rating is referred to by Buff Gamer as sucking, highlighting just how much of a cyclical circus the glorious world of video games can sometimes be. Number 8, The Guardian. Ultima 7, The Black Gate. Significant portions of Ultima 7, The Black Gate story were inspired by developer Origin Systems' years-long dispute with EA. Origin believed that EA's 1987 game Deathlord was a rip-off of the Ultima series, causing Origin to sever ties with the company, then fill the Ultima games with various prods and insults. EA founder Trip Hawkins appears as a literal pirate, before Origin went all guns blazing in Ultima 7. The 1992 game's primary antagonist is The Guardian, a destroyer of worlds, something that fits Origin's initial company motto of "We create worlds." The game refers to the Guardian as vain, greedy, egocentric, and malevolent. Even better, the three generators that give the Guardian his power each resemble part of the EA logo: a cube, sphere, and a tetrahedron. And two friendly characters are later revealed as double agents, being called Elizabeth and Abraham. Number 7, Francis, Super Paper Mario. In Super Paper Mario's third chapter, you'll encounter the boss character, Francis, a video game-obsessed chameleon who is basically an avatar of every nerdy gamer stereotype possible. Francis freaks out over a hot babe, Peach, entering his room, tries to win her over, then suggests that they get married. To call these interactions red flags would be an understatement, but beyond his social awkwardness, what makes Francis a spiteful creation is the fact he also admits to visiting message boards and criticizing games that he hasn't even played. It's easy to appreciate developers taking aim at toxic members of the community, and Francis serves as a literal punching bag for an industry full of frustrated artists and programmers. Number 6, Rykov, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty might be one of the best games of all time, but its marketing was intentionally a huge lie, set up to bait and switch you with expectation versus reality, taking the hyped return of Solid Snake and giving you the rookie Raiden instead. At the time, and I genuinely think it would result in a lawsuit or incredibly heated viral campaign today, there was no hate like it. So what did Hideo Kojima do in response to all the negativity? Well, he put another Raiden in Metal Gear Solid 3. Hilariously, Snake Eater can even open yet again on Raiden standing there as the main character if you choose the I Like Metal Gear Solid 2 option from the main menu, though it's quickly revealed to be a mask. For the game proper, this time you were meeting Ivan Raidanovich Rykov, the second in command to primary antagonist Volgin, a character who makes it his business to torture people. Raidanovich is even subject to your own fists when you have to knock him out to gain access to a base, meaning that most of us lamped him silly or even tried killing him just for the sake of revenge. Number 5, Fraud Hogslop, Postal 2. Postal 2 is pretty much a whole game created out of spite, though expansion pack Apocalypse Weekend makes a certain villain really stand out. One of its missions involves retrieving the master copy of Postal 2 from Bullfish Interactive, a fictional in-game publisher that just released the game. In reality, Bullfish is a thinly veiled stand-in for Whiptail Interactive, and reflects running with Scissor's founder and Postal producer Vince Desi's various frustrations with them. This leads to Postal Dude taking on Bullfish's CEO, Frode Hogslop, based on Whiptail's president, Fred Heslop, where you can later brutally murder him. Apparently, this all came from running with Scissors cutting ties with Whiptail due to a breach of contract, leading to them responding in the most outrageous way possible, getting as close as they could to triggering a lawsuit without actually crossing the line. Number 4, Team Plasma, Pokemon Black and White. Pokemon Black and White introduced players to Team Plasma, who appear in the game's Unova region and believe that humans need to reconsider their relationships with Pokemon, in that using them in battles is effectively animal cruelty. Whilst it's a worthwhile sentiment to explore, it's later revealed in the game that the group's seemingly noble intentions are in fact a smokescreen. Turns out their leader Getsis just wishes to rule over Unova unchallenged by convincing everyone to free their Pokemon first. This was a not-so-subtle swipe at various do-gooder organizations that have criticized Pokemon over the years, from religious concern groups to even animal welfare outfit PETA. Game Freak were very much implying that these organizations aren't quite as virtuous or well-intentioned as they might come across. PETA responded by releasing a parody game the same week that Pokemon Black and White 2 hit stores, called Pokemon Black and Blue, featuring various chained up and beaten Pokemon fighting for their freedom. Nintendo slung mud back by issuing a statement bluntly suggesting PETA's act was, in the very least, infringing copyrights. Needless to say, this didn't happen again. Number 3, Everything in Whimsyshire, Diablo 3. Back when Blizzard first revealed Diablo 3, many fans kicked up a fuss that the aesthetic seemed brighter and more colorful than Diablo 1 and 2, with many players suspecting that Blizzard had lightened the game's tone in order to appeal to a broader audience, which they clearly did. The devs couldn't resist a hidden level that brought these fans' most horrifying fears to life. The level in question was Whimsyshire, a more candy-colored upbeat riff on Diablo 2's much-loved Secret Cow level, which now included amongst its enemies some unicorns, teddy bears, and pink flowers. Basically, it was everything a go-to Diablo diehard would hate to see in the game proper. Also, I just recorded that whole entry saying Diablo the whole time. If you actually prefer Diablo, I'm just sorry. Number 2, Timmy Vermicelli, Driver 3. It feels like ancient history now, but back in the 2000s, GTA's runaway success had a whole host of similar titles, quality as they were, like True Crime and Driver, leading to some incredible back and forths. One of which was the increasingly acidic feud between Grand Theft Auto and Driver. Rockstar actually did throw the first stone across Grand Theft Auto 3 and Vice City, where in each game a mission involved players killing a character called Tanner, named after Driver's own protagonist. In GTA 3's mission Two-Face Tanner, the character is even described as a strangely animated undercover cop, who is more or less useless outside of the car, referencing the fact Driver 2 did do open world running and car gameplay first, but it was janky as hell. In an attempt to get back at Rockstar, Driver 3 developer Reflections included a recurring antagonist called Timmy Vermicelli, who in name and appearance was a direct parody of Vice City's Tommy Vercetti. In addition to wearing Tommy's trademark Hawaiian shirt, he also wears armbands in reference to his inability to swim, something you could now do in Driver 3. You were asked to collect the various Timmies around the map by killing them. Rockstar fired back again, showing one of Mad Dog's bodyguards in San Andreas playing a game and commenting, "How could Refractions mess up so bad? Tanner, you suck ass." At the time, despite its flexing, Driver 3 was a disastrously disappointing release, something Rockstar clearly wanted to point out, and looking back, we can say that they had the last laugh. And number 1, Juarez, Neo Geo Battle Colosseum. Tag team fighting game Neo Geo Battle Colosseum doesn't have much in the way of a nuanced narrative, but its story does involve the shadowy Juarez conglomerate organizing the tournament itself. They're just looking to take control of the Neo Geo world overall for their various nefarious schemes. Hilariously though, Juarez isn't just some random acronym, but a reference to Wares, the term used in computer circles to describe pirate software. Several years prior to Neo Geo Battle Colosseum's release, publisher SNK went bankrupt, blaming piracy for their inability to turn a profit. SNK was relaunched as SNK Playmore shortly after, and a few years later when Neo Geo Battle Colosseum was in development, they seemingly still had a massive chip on their shoulder over profits being funneled away by piracy or Wares. Sadly for them, Neo Geo Battle Colosseum failed to move the needle critically or commercially, so any wider point it was trying to make about the impact of piracy on the industry went completely ignored.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.